WFXX. Once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy College.
And we're off and running on a Manic Monday edition of Let's Talk for those of you streaming this morning. And you can join us working to get the on-air presence of the radio station up and running. We're getting moderate success at this point. I think we have folks working on it as we speak. In the meantime, phone line is open at 814-954-7266. Ugh. That wasn't the way that was supposed to go. Ugh.
Which one are you talking
just
about?
Just ugh.
Oh, boy. What a weekend. All right. So we have an open line program today. Yeah, frankly, if we wanted to, we could probably talk football for the whole show. We won't, but we probably could. All right. So, we could start talking right now. We got a bunch of stuff, but it may be if you have something, 814-954-7266. All right. It was a weekend. All right.
It was quite the scene. I will say that.
It was a weekend, folks. So we'll get some reactions from you and we'll share some of ours and so on. Looks like we have a dry week.
Speak for yourself. What after that game, there's no way this is going to be a dry week, pal.
Allow me to...
Is it just me?
Allow me to rephrase. probably no rain this week.
You may be onto something there.
All right, now our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, he'll join us as he does later next hour. And I got some questions for Joe again. It's apparently totally going to avoid us, might avoid other people. These two hurricanes or two big storms out in the Atlantic, and what's unique about them is they're very close to each other, which is very rare. That normally doesn't happen. All right, so we have Umberto, if I'm pronouncing it right, Umberto and Imelda. And they're like one on top of the other. I mean, it's like back and forth, if you will. And so I'm going to ask Joe about this. Like, okay, that's kind of weird. Now, thankfully, let's see, South Carolina, North Carolina, maybe Virginia, I suppose. If you're on the coast, they're probably going to be getting some weather. But maybe, strangely, not as bad as you might think. Because you got two storms, I guess, close together, and one is now kind of pulling the other one. That's weird, all right? That's just like out of sci-fi or something. So we'll talk more with Joe about that coming up later next hour. Yeah, at one point yesterday, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. All of my football teams are going to lose? All four of them? Yes, four of them. All four of them?
Four of them?
Four of them. All right.
It sounded like he said four.
My high school team lost. My college team lost. I love soccer, the round ball version of football. So my English Premier League team actually lost rather badly. And then there was the Steelers yesterday, who seemingly tried to give it away.
They got her done, baby. First place in the AFC North. All is well.
Yeah, barely.
Over in Dublin.
I mean, holy. It's like, how did the Vikings have a full minute at the end of the game to try to score again?
You hush up.
It's like, hello. Anyway, we'll get to more of that later on. Now, we do have one football note. All right.
We have a note.
I watched some of that game last night between the Cowboys and the Packers.
Yeah.
I did not make it to the end. I would not have made it to the end.
Mm-mm.
If you didn't know, by the way, it ended in an overtime tie. All right. So the two teams tied. They put 40 points on the board each and ended in a tie.
Ugh.
But apparently, and I didn't, I guess it was at halftime. By the time it got to the half, I said, all right, I'm done, going to bed, good night. Da, 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 gone. All right. They announced the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show performer. Ooh. Now, again, I caught some of the buildup during the first half of the game. I'm like, okay. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, who could they possibly bring on? Again, it's either, how do I phrase this? It's either modern music or it's like classic rock or classic pop or something like that. Now, classic pop would have been Paul McCartney, all right, from the Beatles. When he, you know, how many years has that been? Whenever that's been, all right? Recently, they seem to be going more for what I call modern music. And the headliner for the Super Bowl halftime show is going to be Bad Bunny. Now, if you're into modern music, you've absolutely heard of Bad Bunny. For the rest of us, it's like, what? Who? Look him up, all right? Look him up online, Bad Bunny. He's from Puerto Rico. I'll be honest, I've heard his name, Bad Bunny, which I have to assume that's not his real name, okay? But I guess I'm going to have to look him up, like, okay, Bad Bunny. Is this going to be another Super Bowl where halftime comes and I'm just going to hit the fridge, hit the bathroom, you know, check on the pets, take the dog out to do his business, and then maybe by the time all that's done, Bad Bunny will be over. I mean, the youngsters like Bad Bunny. Like, okay, Bad Bunny. Let's see. Travis Kelce's girlfriend is in the news, okay? Her new album comes out on Friday.
So yeah, it does.
Mr. Ironhead's going to be lining up.
Are you kidding me?
He's going to line up at the Amazon booth or something to buy this thing. It's called The Life of a Showgirl. Okay. The interesting thing about this, now I don't know if we're doing this here. Caller, hold on, we'll get to you in a moment. I don't know if we're doing this here, but apparently it says they're going to be having release parties at theaters across the country this weekend. Now, I don't know if we're doing that locally. Maybe we are, and I just haven't seen it yet. So if you go to a release party, you can see Taylor Swift's new music video and other exclusive footage. So maybe if somebody knows, is one of our local like movie theaters doing a release party this weekend? This is supposed to drop on Friday. All right, so, ooh, folks, I'm sorry, I don't
Let's
get
do it.
It's like Bad Bunny, Taylor Swift, okay.
What's the matter with you?
All right, let's take our call here. Holy smokes, get me out of trouble.
Embarrassment. Good morning, you are live on Let's Talk.
Good morning. I don't know if it's just me, Jeff, but I can hear 2 seconds and then you're blank for 10 seconds.
Nope, that would not be just you. That would be everybody listening to the radio.
Oh, the
streaming is solid, but the radio part is still not in good shape.
Yeah, we're working
on it.
To
say the least.
Okay. Permission to rant?
By all means.
Sure.
Okay. Because I never do that.
No.
Okay. First of all, can we dispense with this is the best offensive line we had and since
yes.
Joe Paterno was here?
I think we can safely do
yes.
that, yes.
Secondly, are there any other head coaches in the United States that are 4-21 against top 10 teams and still have their job?
There are not.
Well, I tell you okay. what, hold on. Maybe not, okay, I don't know the exact numbers. Kirby Smart at Georgia has proven that he cannot beat Alabama. He's like 1-1, now it's not 4-21, it's like 1-7.
1-6, yeah.
1-6,
yep.
Is that what it is? Okay. So, I mean, here's Georgia. They've been a great program in recent years.
They've won national titles.
They can't beat Alabama, and they couldn't do it again over the weekend. Now, that's not 4-21, because that's a longer period of time there.
And
multiple teams, but still 1-6.
Winning national titles.
I'm going to assume down in Athens, Georgia, that's where the University of Georgia is located, I've got to assume they're whining this morning. Why can't we beat Alabama? I bet money.
Well, so, my friend from high school was a tremendous defensive mind, and was at one time the head coach at LSU many years ago.
Oh.
Then went to the Steelers, was a linebacker coach and so on and so forth. Coached for like 45 or 6 years in college, very, almost always a defensive coordinator. And when he was a head coach at LSU, he called me up one time and he said, I got to get out of here. He said, last year we were 8-3 or something like that, which is a devastating record for LSU. He said, we lost one of our first 6 this year. They are threatening adults, threatening my young children. He said, I got to get out of here. Next year he was the Steelers linebacker coach. But, yeah, I understand. My contention very quickly has been the importance of Penn State football, the game itself, seems to be somewhat diminished from when I was a student 65 years ago, where it seems like, you know, if we lost, it was devastating. Now, I think it's just strictly, let's get out of town, let's go to Penn State, let's have fun for 3 days and come home or whatever. The importance of the game, and I, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's a world-ending thing, but the difference, I think, how certain coaches get to stay where they are is the importance of the game as far as wins and losses has been diminished, you know, in the last 10, 12, 15 years, pretty much across sports. But I think that's how some of these people survive.
You could be onto something. Yeah, I can sort of remember, not 65 years, but more like, I don't know, 30 years or something ago. Yeah, if Penn State lost, it was like, you know, it's not that way anymore. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm guessing the two of you have not been on the message boards this week.
No, I saw some stuff. I just felt differently 30 years ago.
I agree. It feels differently. I think it's much worse today than it was.
Oh,
back
really?
Then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close.
All right, go ahead, caller.
In terms of the reaction, I'm talking about.
Right. Now, the actual impact of a loss certainly is not what it was 30 years ago. But the reaction to it, good heavens.
Go ahead, caller.
My friend used to say, he was from Pittsburgh, he said, if my high school team lost Friday night, Pitt lost on Saturday, and the Steelers lost on Sunday, my wife hid the knives. But anyhow, guys, just wanted to get that out there. I can't be any more disgusted with anybody that believes we're going to go into Ohio State and win. You know, is really in a fantasy world, and we may lose to Indiana.
No,
but just to come back, I'm not a told you so, but I predicted last week 24-17 Oregon, so I was pretty close.
Pretty close.
Well, that's not bad.
Pretty close.
Okay.
All right. Of course, I don't have any money to bet. Take care. Have a good week.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, actually, that was pretty close. All right.
Phone line is open, 814-954-7266.
Iowa blew it against Indiana. They blew it. All right. Iowa should have won that game, but we'll save that for later on.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
All right, we got a Fat Bear Week update. Here we go. Folks, we're down to the final four, or actually we're down to the last 2 days. Now, if you have no idea what we're talking about, we mentioned this last week. National Park Service has some fun every year. Their park up in Alaska, and Fat Bear Week, the idea is the bears up there. Remember, this is Alaska. The bears up there, I guess, brown bears, are getting ready to hibernate for the winter, which means they got to pack on the pounds so that they can hibernate through the winter and be safe, you know, without, I guess, waking up or something like that. Well, today is the final four voting. Yes, you can vote on your favorite fat bear. It's just kind of fun. The website is fatbearweek.org. All right, the semifinal voting is today through, I'm not sure the exact time, sometime tonight. And then they will narrow it down to 2. And then the finals, the voting is tomorrow. And then they will, I guess, either announce the winner tomorrow night or Wednesday morning. And you have the chance to sound off. So get to the polling place, which would be your phone or computer or something, and pick your favorite fat bear. They have before and after photos of these bears, and I tell you, it is startling. If you they all have numbers. They don't have names. They all have numbers. And remember the one fat bear back in the, I guess, the spring? He was not a fat bear. He was more like a skinny, well, not a skinny bear, but he was a thin bear. And then they have a today photo and like, whoa, that's the same bear? Yes, it is. They pack on the pounds because they have to. So if you want to vote, today, semifinals, tomorrow, finals, fatbearweek.org. Get out there and vote. All right, at home, in your fridge, or maybe your freezer, do you have either corn dogs on a stick or sausage on a stick? Mr. Ironhead, do you have those things at your house? I don't.
I do not.
I do not either, but apparently some people do. And if you do, you might want to check this out. All right, Associated Press story, about 58 million pounds of either corn dog or sausage on a stick are being recalled across the country because pieces of wood may be embedded in the batter. Oh, goodness sakes, are you kidding me? All right, this came out over the weekend. Let's see, this is from Hillshire Brands. And the recall covers either, this is what they're called, State Fair corn dogs on a stick, and Jimmy Dean pancakes and sausage on a stick. Pancakes and sausage on a stick. Okay, this is from Hillshire Brands, which is part of Tyson Foods. Apparently, they've had some complaints recently. It says here, five of which involved injuries. Okay, that's not good. According to the story, the company has determined that a, quote, limited number of these products included, quote, extraneous pieces of wooden stick within the batter. Okay, so they're saying only a few of them, but of course we don't know which few. All right, that's a problem. And so they are doing a recall. This is Tyson now. They're doing a recall, quote, out of an abundance of caution. Well, yeah, I prefer not to try to chew and try to eat a stick. It's bad enough that the whole doggone thing's on a stick. All right, corn dog on a stick, and what's the other one? Jimmy Dean pancakes and sausage on a stick. If you have this in your fridge or freezer, I guess what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take it back to where you bought it, and allegedly you will get a refund, okay? There are certain dates and so on. It came out of one particular plant. No surprise there, probably. But if you're uncertain, maybe do a web search for this. Or, again, take your stuff back to the store you bought it from, and allegedly you will get a refund. All right? So keep in mind on that. Here's a name to remember. Tilly Norwood. All right? Remember her name. Tilly Norwood. All right? Now, why should we remember her name? Tilly is an actress. And right now, according to some stories out there, some talent agents are very interested in, I guess, signing up Tilly. This is kind of weird because Tilly is an artificial intelligence actress.
Oh, boy.
In other words, she's not a real person. She is the creation of, let's see if I get this right, Eileen Vandervelden. All right. Eileen is a, says here, she is an actress, comedian, and technologist. And she has an AI-focused production company and an AI talent studio. And she has come up, and I all right, Mr. Ironhead, there she is. There's Tilly Norwood.
There she is.
There she is, all right. And you see this, like she... Very attractive young actress, okay, and she's totally fake. And amazingly, some talent agents want to sign up Tilly to, I guess, do different acting jobs. Now, some people, of course, are outraged because they're saying this is AI taking over Hollywood and so on. Vandervelden says, no, 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 no. Tilly is more like a work of art that she has composed or she has put together. All right. And it's just like any, I don't know, a painting or something like that. That's what Tilly is. She's not out there to replace anybody. She's just sort of a work of art. But she's also an actress. So in other words, you would see Tilly on the screen and she's talking and she's doing things just like an actress would do. I've been waiting for this, although I didn't. These are human talent agents trying to sign up an AI actress. All right? That's just a little weird, folks. But keep, I swear, follow this name, Tilly Norwood, and let's see where this goes. Because if there's a Tilly, there's going to be other Tillys coming down the line ever so slowly. And the question, I guess, is, does it matter if there's a Tilly, like an artificial Tilly? If artificial Tilly is in a movie and it's a really good story and you like it, does it matter if she's not human? There's something to think about. Let's take a call here.
All right. Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope the whiteout was fun.
Sure, well, the whiteout was a lot of fun.
It was something.
The game, yeah. Okay, move on. Go ahead.
Yeah, not the game. This is the future. There's no reason to complain about it. When computers came in and got rid of disc jockeys playing records and then playing their favorite songs, that was the best thing in the world, where a program director could control everything that went on the air.
Ugh.
And the person on the air just had to be good. They didn't have to worry about the technology.
Mm.
Now, I can't wait for the day where the individuals take out do away with the mundane garbage we have to deal with all day. Like, years ago, women were home doing the laundry back in the stream, you know, slapping this stuff on rocks.
Oh, for goodness.
And come on, look at the transition here. We have air conditioning now, where we don't have to worry about where we live, whether we have hot or cold. We don't have to worry about building fires outside. That's when people ask me to camp. I'm like, are you crazy? It took us 6,000 years to get off the ground, get away from bugs, and have electricity. You think I'm going to go back to that? No, I don't think so. So technology is great, used properly. It's here. You know, I created a newscast with pretending to be my daughter, and it was amazing. You know, it is here. There's nothing we can do about it. I would love to have a robot stationed at, let's say, a critical, let's say, had a transmitter site, that when I needed them, they could work on whatever needed to be worked on. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes. Because
that's going to happen within 20 or 30 years.
Can we do it in like
maybe
two or three hours? Is that possible to do it in the next 2 or 3 hours?
Well,
I'm not looking like, no, okay.
But you see, you understand what I'm saying. So we're not dealing with some dope overseas that doesn't understand our dialect. And nothing against them. They understand English, but don't understand our dialect. When you're trying to get things done, when you have an AI robot or computer, now, right now it's in the infancy stages, that get it right. You know, that get it right. And then we, the humans, can do the other jobs, like be on the air, like you guys, sounding good. You don't have to worry about the technical aspects, because there will be an AI there to fix it, because it will be programmed to fix it. What's happened is we've gone from an analog world where you have records spinning around and you put a needle down, and an analog world where it's tubed, to digital zeros and ones where it works or it doesn't. There's no in between. And they always fail. Always. I've been dealing with it since 93. Always fail. So now we have AI, which is digital technology, and we're going into quantum, which is zeros and ones in the same space at the same time. Go figure that out. Quantum technology, that's pretty amazing.
Okay.
So we have to embrace it. So we have to say, let's take the good parts and make them better, but let's not be afraid of it. You know, they were afraid of cars. I read court cases back in the early 1900s. Yeah. They wanted to ban automobiles.
Yeah.
You know why? They were scaring the horses.
Yes.
So guess what we didn't have to do anymore? Clean up the crap in the streets, because the horses would make messes.
You need to come out where I live.
Oh, boy.
The Amish are still doing that, okay?
I just want to bring up one more thing that really aggravates me. I'm going to give you a pet peeve.
Hurry up.
We have 100 pages of documentation against Comey and the rest of them where they committed treason. We know now that the federal government conspiring with mafia, I knew that years ago, killed JFK.
Okay.
That was a coup d'etat. Hmm. Now, you can't even argue that anymore. The Warren Commission was nothing but a whitewash. We know that. The documents have been released. We know who killed JFK. It was the mafia and the CIA. That's why Kennedy said he was going to tear the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Why are we comfortable with sending the Taliban $47 million a week? Why are we comfortable with Donald Rumsfeld on September 11th saying, we can't find $2.3 trillion? There should have been a revolution the next day when he said that. Are you comfortable sending tax dollars to these pricks in Washington when they can't tell us where our money is going? I know where it's going for our destruction. I'm not afraid of China or Russia. I fear these guys in Washington, D.C. That's who I fear. Hmm. And why aren't we afraid of them? Because have you been heard, Jeff, or stopped by the Chinese or the Russians or anyone else?
Not yet.
No. No. Do the school boards talk against Russia or China in a way? Sure, they're kind of our enemy. But they'll also allow someone who identifies as a female with adult body parts in some schools to walk into your little girls' bathrooms. You know why? Because we forgot the word crazy. There are still a bunch of crazy people in this world and need to be institutionalized. If you dress like a cat, let me tell you where I am now. They allowed somebody to actually dress like a cat and identify as a cat. And they actually, this was a news story, put a litter box in the bathroom. In my day, you know what they do? They beat the hell out of you. Your friends would beat you. Your friends kept you in shape. You remember when Joe Biden said he wants to bring Trump behind the barn and beat him? And other clips of causing violence against conservatives and Republicans? We don't do that. We don't threaten violence to liberals. Because we know they're sick. You don't beat sick people up. You give them medication. You give them psychological help. Put them in. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the question to anyone that says, why aren't we outraged?
Okay.
That's the question.
We got to move on. All right.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. Friends, when we say open line show, we're not kidding. All right. We got to take a break because we're behind schedule here. When we come back, our sports break, again, a weekend. Yes, a very busy weekend. And then we'll have plenty of talk about, I don't know, offensive lines and other things and some newsy stuff, too. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It is Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, coming off a busy, albeit disappointing, sports weekend here in the Valley of Happiness. Let's take a check of the sports scene. And yes, we start with the Saturday night matchup, the 409th game played in Beaver Stadium. And the Nittany Lions lose to Oregon in double overtime, 30-24. You know the story. James Franklin is now 4-21 against top 10 teams in his tenure at Penn State. Drew Aller threw an interception on the first play of Penn State's offensive turn in the second overtime to seal the win for the Ducks on Penn State's whiteout night. The Nittany Lions rallied from a 17-3 deficit in the fourth quarter to force overtime. Drew Aller connected with Devontae Ross on a 35-yard touchdown pass, and then on a 7-yard touchdown pass to force the extra time. Penn State went ahead on a 4-yard touchdown run from Catron Allen in the first overtime before the Ducks answered, scoring on a 4th down play with Dante Moore completing a pass to Jamari Johnson for the score. Moore then threw a 25-yard touchdown pass to Gary Bryant in the second OT before Aller's interception ended the game. Penn State now 3-1 on the season, 0-1 in the Big Ten, and the Nittany Lions will hit the road for the first time this season as it visits UCLA for a 3:30 Eastern Time kickoff on Saturday. The Bruins are 0-4 after losing to Northwestern Saturday 17-14. The Penn State-UCLA game will be televised by CBS. Some other games from Saturday: Alabama getting a big win over Georgia, 24-21. Ohio State shut down Washington, 24-6. It was Indiana getting past Iowa, 20-15. Illinois defeating USC, 34-32. Notre Dame rolled over Arkansas, 56-13. It was Ole Miss knocking off LSU, 24-9.
19. Tennessee held off Mississippi State 41-34. Texas A&M getting by Auburn 16-10. Georgia Tech edging Wake Forest in overtime 30-29. Iowa State beating Arizona 39-14. And BYU downed Colorado 24-21. Right around the time I was getting out of the parking lot is when that game ended.
Okay.
In the new AP poll this week, Ohio State remains number one, with Oregon vaulting up to number two, followed by Miami, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma, respectively. Texas A&M now sixth, with Penn State falling to seventh. Indiana is eighth, Texas ninth, and Alabama tenth. Other Big Ten teams ranked are Michigan at number 20 and Illinois, which, again, got that good win over USC at number 22. In this week's coaches poll, Penn State has slipped to number 6. The top 5 in order are Ohio State, Oregon, Miami, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. And then it's Penn State, followed by Texas, Oklahoma, Indiana, and Georgia, respectively. Alabama now 11th in the coaches' poll, behind Georgia. Michigan is 20th, and Illinois is 22nd. The Penn State women's volleyball team losing in four sets to UCLA at Rec Hall yesterday. The Bruins winning 25-22, 19-25, 25-23, and 25-23. The Nittany Lions' Kennedy Martin had a great match in defeat. She posted 34 kills on a 403 hitting percentage. She also had 9 digs and 3 blocks in the match. She also had 29 kills in the 5-set victory for Penn State Friday night over USC. In yesterday's match, Emmy Selman had 11 kills and 12 digs in Friday's win over the Trojans. Penn State took the decisive 5th set 15-13. The Nittany Lions, after the 1-1 weekend, now stand at 7-5 on the season, 1-1 in conference matches. Good win for the Penn State women's soccer team yesterday. The Nittany Lions earning the 2-1 victory at Northwestern. Penn State's goals coming from Amelia White and Molly Martin in goal. Mackenzie Gress made 6 saves. Penn State improving to 6-4-2 on the season, now 2-2-1 in Big Ten action. Penn State field hockey team giving up a couple of goals in the final minute and a half and falling to Syracuse on the road yesterday 3-2. Morgan McMenamin and Joji Purdy scored the Penn State goals. The Nittany Lions falling to 5-4 now on the season. Penn State women's hockey team off to a 2-0 start after Friday's 5-2 win over St. Lawrence as the 8th-ranked Nittany Lions take both games from the 9th-ranked Saints. Tessa Janicki had a goal and an assist for Penn State in the win on Friday afternoon, also scoring for Penn State, were Taya McDonald, Matilda Fanton, and Grace Outwater, along with Nicole Hall. Penn State scored the final 3 goals of the game in the 3rd period to pull away for the victory. The Nittany Lions will hit the road for the first time this season with a pair of games at Vermont on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. All we ask is that you bring back a couple of wins and a little maple syrup, ladies.
Or a lot of maple syrup.
Yeah. Well, that would be wonderful, okay. Come to think of it. Penn State men's hockey team has some high expectations for the upcoming season, but some disappointing news over the weekend. On Friday, sophomore forward Keaton Peters announcing he will miss the upcoming season due to knee surgery. He said he suffered the injury a few weeks ago and did have successful surgery last week. Peters will now redshirt this season. As a true freshman last year, he scored a couple of goals and 4 assists for Penn State. The Nittany Lions are getting ready for their season opener Friday night at Arizona State. The Penn State baseball team winning a pair of fall games over Villanova on Friday evening. Nittany Lions winning the games by scores of 7-5 and 5-4 at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. The Penn State men's golf team is competing today and tomorrow at the Nemacolin Collegiate Invitational in Farmington, Pennsylvania. That tournament got underway about 8 minutes ago, actually, just getting underway. The action will continue with two rounds today and then the final round tomorrow. In high school football, Friday night, State College overcoming an early 7-0 deficit after a couple of turnovers and picking up a 41-13 victory at Central Dauphin. Connor Kolka threw for 238 yards and three touchdowns after giving up a pick six early. Deontay Sheffy ran for over 100 yards and a rushing touchdown. He also had a touchdown catch. Hank Lustig had five receptions for 75 yards and a touchdown. The Little Lions are off to a 5-1 start this season. Bald Eagle area football team knocking off Belfont in the Curtain Bowl, the backyard brawl, the battle, the, it's a rivalry. 19-14, Bald Eagle area wins it. Luke Hosband had 103 receiving yards and a couple of scores to lead the Eagles. Bald Eagle area now 3-3 on the season, while Belfont falls to 2-4. Great win for Phillipsburg Osceola Friday night. Phillipsburg Osceola wins it over Bellwood Annis 31-28. Robert McClenahan preserved the victory with an interception with 13 seconds left in the contest. Colton Chapman had a couple of rushing touchdowns for the Mounties, who also finished with four turnovers on the night. That helped them improve to 4-2 now on the season. Penns Valley fell to Clearfield on Friday night. 47-7. The Rams are now 0-6 on the season. State College field hockey team picking up a 2-0 victory over Central Dauphin on Friday. The Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday were able to hang on for the 24-21 victory over the Vikings in Dublin, Ireland. Pittsburgh built a 24-6 lead in the fourth quarter before Minnesota rallied to make it uncomfortable down the stretch. Aaron Rodgers connected on an 80-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, the longest play in an NFL game not on American soil ever. And the Steelers' defense got after it. TJ Watt had a sack, one of six on Carson Wentz, and an interception, one of two on the day for the Steelers. Deshaun Elliott had the other, and Kenneth Gainwell ran for 99 yards and two touchdowns. The Steelers are 3-1 and by themselves atop the AFC North heading into the bye week. And, you know, atop the standings by themselves pending the outcome of tonight's action. Philadelphia Eagles are now 4-0 after a big 31-25 win at Tampa Bay yesterday. Seems like these Eagles are pretty good. Saquon Barkley had a rushing touchdown. Jalen Hurts threw a couple of touchdown passes to tight end Dallas Goedert, and the Eagles keep rolling. They have now won 20 of their last 21 games dating back to last season. In other action yesterday, the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys battled to a 40-40 tie late last night. This game was 13-2 late in the second quarter.
Yes.
And it ended 40-40. And nobody was satisfied.
I stopped at 13-2.
Nobody's satisfied. The Chiefs, let's hear it for your Kansas City Chiefs, ladies and gentlemen. They hammered the Ravens yesterday 37-20. Jackson Dart. Remember how I wanted the Steelers to draft Jackson Dart? He led the Giants to a 21-18 win over the previously unbeaten Chargers. The Bills remain undefeated. Did not look pretty, but a 31-19 win over the hapless Saints. Somebody get them some hap, would you? The Lions pulled away from the Browns for a 34-10 win. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars over San Francisco 26-21. The Patriots pounded the Panthers 42-13. The Titans are 0-4 after losing to the now 1-3 Texans 26-0. All right, they may have even less hap than the Saints. That is
ouch.
I mean, ugly. What are you doing? You can't lose to an 0-3 team, 26-0. Actually, I guess you can. They did. The Falcons topped the Commanders yesterday.
Surprise.
Final there was 34-27. And more on that later. The Rams beat the Colts 27-20. The Bears edged the Raiders 25-24. Tonight, not one, but two more games to close out the weekend. The Titanic showdown between the 0-3 Jets and the 0-3 Dolphins. Somebody.
Oh, boy.
Is going to get their first win, or we'll have our second tie of the weekend.
Just
never know. The Jets and the Dolphins will play in Miami starting at 7:15. An anxious nation awaits the showdown.
Right.
Also tonight, the Bengals will be at the Broncos in an 8:15 kickoff. Cincinnati can forge a tie atop the AFC North with Pittsburgh if it wins tonight's game. And you never know. If the technical issues are ironed out, there's a chance you could hear that game on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. You know, that's our plan. But we had really good plans yesterday, too. Good intentions. Pittsburgh Pirates. Their season mercifully has come to an end. The Bucks losing the season finale in Atlanta to the Braves 4-1 yesterday. They finished the year with a record of 71 wins and 91 losses. Ronald Acuna had a two-run homer for Atlanta in the first inning. That was all the Braves would need yesterday. Johan Oviedo gave up two runs on three hits in his five innings of work, settled in nicely after the home run by Acuna. Joey Bart had an RBI single in the sixth to give Pittsburgh its only run in the season finale. Oh, we'll get him next year. Should be a blockbuster offseason. Pirates undoubtedly will go get some big bats. Probably try to trade for, who knows, Aaron Judge or who knows what the big names are that will be coming into Pittsburgh to provide a spark to that offense. It'll be very exciting on the Berg to see the big moves that they'll get to bolster that offense.
Where's your medicated drink this morning? I don't see it.
I had a dream. The Phillies beat the Twins yesterday 2-1. Philadelphia picking up a little extra momentum as if they needed it. Heading into the postseason as they got the walk-off victory, Nick Castellanos won it with a sacrifice fly in the 10th. Trey Turner back in the lineup, and he played five innings. He also officially wins the National League batting title this year with a .304 average. The baseball playoffs will get underway tomorrow, with the Brewers and the Phillies having first-round byes in the National League. The Blue Jays and the Mariners also get first-round byes in the American League. So in the National League tomorrow, it will be the Padres at the Cubs at 3:08 first pitch. The Reds will be at the Dodgers starting at 9:08. Tomorrow night. In the American League, it'll be the Red Sox visiting the Yankees. Wonder if those two teams are familiar with each other. That'll be a 6:08 start. That'll follow the afternoon game in Cleveland, where the Guardians will host the Tigers at 1:08. The Guardians won the division.
Unbelievable.
What are you doing, Detroit? But Detroit can,
they're in.
All will be forgiven if they turn around and beat the Guardians in the best of three opening round of the playoffs. And, good Lord. Europe retains the Ryder Cup after a 15-13 win over the United States at Bethpage Black. The Americans staged a great comeback yesterday. It had a whiteout game kind of feel to it. Dug themselves a hole, looked like it was over. They stormed back, and then they ultimately lost. Europeans, I think it is fair to say, enjoyed the victory. The crowd at Bethpage Black did not exactly hard to kind of be filled with American pride if you were watching that garbage. Good Lord. I mean, yes, be rambunctious, have some fun, But come on. Like, have a modicum of class about you. Yeah, it did not make it easy to be rooting for the Americans. Lots of ugly moments throughout. But the Europeans get the win. They are celebrating. They post a video. Hey, are you watching Donald Trump? Are you watching Donald Trump? Are you watching Donald Trump?
All right.
Trump was there and was obviously there to root on the Americans. On Truth Social, Trump writes, "Yes, I'm watching. Congratulations. Job well done by the European side. Doggone it." And that is a little check of the weekend sports.
All right, we'll take a break here now, folks. If you're boo-hooing out there, hey.
Oh, I'm boo-hooing.
You could be a New York Mets fan.
I do not want to be. That's
what happened. All right.
Well,
happened?
That's what you get for being a Mets fan. That serves you right.
All they had to do was win yesterday. And
they were good guys.
And they got
for Penn
shut
State.
Out, no less.
Well, yeah. If that's what you get for rooting for the Mets.
I mean,
that's on you.
The sports talk stations in New York this morning are probably.
I think they're probably pretty forgiving.
They
generally, hey, you gave it a good try. Overall, I think they're pretty happy with Carlos Mendoza. They feel like, you know what, you got our team close. We were competitive. They just seem overall really, really satisfied with the overall effort and performance of their beloved Mets.
Crash.
Not quite right.
Crash and burn.
That was brutal.
You could be a New York Mets fan today.
Wonderful.
And there
probably are
some Mets fans listening. And
well,
please do not destroy your living quarters, okay? Just don't do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we've got an open line program. We have people trying to call in during the sports segment. All right, give us a couple minutes so you can try again.
Yeah, then you can chime in.
How about it? And if you want to talk about the Mets, fine. We're not gonna, but you can. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Oh, plenty to talk about this morning. We will do that when we come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
so good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Are back on the airwaves here. Well, actually, I don't know that for sure. Or at least on the stream. We're working to get back on the airwaves. It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. And, yep, the Nittany Lions got knocked down in a big way. Big letdown on Saturday night at the end of the game. And now we'll see how they bounce back. First at UCLA on Saturday, but... then for the rest of the season. And the noise will grow very, very loudly. Nationally, locally, folks are, they're fed up. They're not going to take it anymore. There are opportunities out there. We will see how the season plays out. If you want to weigh in, 814-954-7260. You can weigh in on anything else that's on your mind here on a Monday as well, but it seemed like quite a few folks had quite a few thoughts following the game on Saturday night. It was an absolutely amazing atmosphere. It is one of the great spectacles in sports, that whiteout, and the noise and the energy and all of it was phenomenal. And then, ugh. And you have the big comeback, and then here we go, and then the anticlimactic ending, with the interception. And yeah, I mean, listen, the record is what it is right now. Drew Aller has not performed well in the big games and in the biggest moments. That's just a fact. James Franklin, again, 4-21. Well-documented record here against top 10 teams. And this one, to me, feels even a little different because this is a team that came back, had a lot of seniors coming back for the express purpose of, all right, we're going to bring this thing home, which, by the way, they still could, and more on that in just a moment. Yeah. But they came back to win the national title. The build-up to this thing, again, I know they were 4-21, or are now 4-21 in games against top 10 teams. In most of those games, Penn State was the underdog. Only in now 5 of the 25 games was Penn State favored to win the contest. They were favored Saturday night. They had the whiteout experience. They had an extra week to prepare for the game. I mean, this one felt like everything was lined up in Penn State's favor. There have not been many in the other 24 matchups against top 10 teams where it felt like just about everything was favoring Penn State going into the contest. Because of all of that, this one, to me, hits a little differently, probably hurts a little more. The good news is the season is not over, despite what many fans will tell you. Still a long way to go, and yes, right now, hard to envision this team going into Columbus and knocking off Ohio State, but that opportunity will present itself. Indiana is, at the moment, now a top 10 team. We'll see how the season plays out, but that also could provide a tremendous opportunity for Penn State to get another marquee win, a top 10 win, toward the end of the season. There's still big games coming up at Iowa, home with Nebraska. So again, we'll wait and see how everything plays out. But yeah, I mean, the record is what the record is, and Drew Aller's performance is what it is. Couple of things on that. Drew Aller is well aware. I know some of you think you need to help him out. Hey, Drew, I want to point out he knows. He gets it.
Yes.
Doesn't really need anybody to remind him. I know they're getting paid now, and maybe some that it's like, well, this hits differently now. So, and obviously, I mean, it's a free country and all of that. My humble suggestion would be, if you are a quote unquote fan of Penn State, you either write notes of encouragement or, man, I hope this, you know, we believe in you. We hope you get this turned around, all of that, rather than, hey, you suck, dude. You suck, man. First of all, he doesn't suck.
No.
Okay. Like, you're not a Division I quarterback, and you don't have the talent that Drew Aller has and suck. Okay. He has not performed well in the big games and the big moments. And yeah, this one, like, this is the disaster ending that you were hoping to avoid on Saturday night. You're hoping Aller comes up with the big play, gets maybe over the hump and gets his confidence and all of that, and instead the exact opposite. And, yeah, now that it continues to weigh and it hovers over the program. But the question now is, well, what do you do? Do you go into your shell and, forget it, I can't do it? Or do you say, all right, well, we've got some more opportunities. I'll learn again from this experience, and we'll see if we can't get this thing turned around. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Caller, we got you there?
Maybe not. Well, okay, you were almost
right
there.
We had them.
Almost had your big showbiz break. Now somebody else can get a big showbiz break, or it could be you, whoever you were. You can call back at 814-954-7266.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate. By the way, is there ever an angel's advocate?
Why are you always advocating for that devil?
Well, so I'm saying,
I don't understand.
Is there an angel's advocate?
I am the angel's advocate.
Oh, really?
Go Angels.
All right, let's
Although the angels, like the Pirates,
let's
are
try
also
a call again.
Not in the postseason right this year. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Well, boys, it's really good listening to you guys, but you can't hear you half the time.
That is true. If you're listening on the radio, probably even less than half the time. streaming, if you have that option, would be the way to go this morning. I believe we have people up at the site now working on it. If we don't, we will in the very near future, I am told.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Well, apparently you didn't know the show you were calling. This was actually Jeff and Scott that you were calling, but we appreciate the call anyway.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Advocate of the Devil.
Well, I tell you what. Let me do this because we need to hold to our schedule. Let's take our break right here.
Okay.
Because we have to. All right. Commercials are important. I'm going to come back and be the angel's advocate, not the devil. Where'd we ever come up with that?
Yeah, why in the world would you be? I know the Penguins aren't expected to have a big season, but the last thing we need is the Devils and advocating for the Devils out there.
Okay.
Let the Devils and the Rangers suffer miserably is what I say. I don't want to see any advocating of the Rangers, the Devils, the Flyers, any of those teams. And we will be right back with more Let's Talk on a Monday, feels like a Monday morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox, Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there, stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk. We are streaming loud and proud and working to get the on-air element of the program running and so that you can listen to it with, you know, some regularity and not the frustration of the hearing it for 10 seconds and then having it drop out for 30 to 60. Working on it. I tell you, we're working on it.
Yes, we are.
And Penn State football, working on it. Still working on it. Phone line is open. And again, available for your use at 814-954-7266.
All right.
All right, Mr. Advocate of the Devil.
The Angels Advocate.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, you were at the game. I was at the game. I was at home, all right, watching on television.
It's a beautiful sunset, by the way. My gosh.
Yes, I saw some pictures online. Somebody was able to snap some interesting photos.
Beautiful.
It was quite the scene.
It was the perfect scene for a glorious, victorious night.
The whiteout is an amazing event.
It really is.
It really is. I mean, it's... some of the numbers, somebody said there was 113,000 people there, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. All right, they got the temporary stands, I'm thinking, no, 113, no. But it turned out to be 111, I think, 111, which for the temporary stands, that wasn't supposed to happen, so I'm thinking, where'd they squeeze in all these extra people? Anyway,
they squeezed them in all over the place. Second largest crowd. Yeah, actually, the reduction in seats ended up only being like a handful.
I was going to say, not much.
And yeah, they ended up, the announced attendance anyway, 111,015 on Saturday night. And probably up at the stadium, in and around the stadium, probably well over 200,000.
The folks just out tailgating, a ton of folks just in
for the experience, not even the game itself.
The third largest city in Pennsylvania, of sorts,
may have been making a run at number two with the way they were piling in there on Saturday.
So it was a great game, as it turned out. Now, early in the fourth quarter, it didn't seem like a great game.
Sure didn't.
Okay. Now, for those of you that do X Twitter, as I call it, again, we'd love for you to follow us. Let's Talk 987 Fox. Let's Talk 987 Fox. All right. So, not every game, but sometimes I'll jump on our X Twitter feed and I'll do posts and stuff like that. So I'm at home and watching the game, and I was doing some posting. Like, not necessarily after every drive for the teams and so on, but a good amount. And so early in the fourth quarter, Oregon scores again, and it's 17-3.
It's over.
And I went on our X Twitter feed, and I said, game over. And I said, get ready. The complaining is going to start, about the offense and the defense and blah, blah. And then what happened? Things turned around. I mean, if Penn State had rolled over at that point at 17-3, yes, we would have a lot to complain about today or yesterday and so on. I mean, the moaning and complaining, and it would be justified. Like, here's all this hype. These guys are supposed to be stupendous, blah, the coaches are amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then, and at home in front of a whiteout, no less. 17-3. Well, of course, that didn't happen. Penn State rallied. They got up off the deck. And for all the people, and yeah, social media, people just ranting and raving and all that sort of stuff, when they really need to kind of take a step back and think before you post. In my old job, I remember we had like a program that we ran. It was called Pause Before You Post. A lot of people really need to do that. Pause before you post, before you rant and rave. For all the people, dump it on Drew Aller, stop. Just stop. All right? No. When I look back at that fourth quarter and Penn State scores two touchdowns, Drew Aller, in my opinion, put the offense on his back and carried it through those two touchdowns. Think about all the runs he made in that stretch.
Incredible.
I mean, this guy's, he's a decent runner, okay? He's not Bo Prabula, okay? He's not. Bo is much more into a running game. And Missouri's doing great. Good for them. Drew's a big guy, big tall guy, big strong tall guy. And so he can fight off blockers and he can do all that stuff. He made runs that you would think, oh, he did it again. Oh, he did it again. There it is. I mean, the announcers, oh, there he goes. Unbelievable. Blah, 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 blah. He carried that offense on his back for those two drives to tie up the ball game. So don't, folks, just stop with the dumping on the kid. He's a great quarterback. Yes, his last pass got intercepted. And my first thought was, oh, for goodness sakes, oh. Then I took
That was similar to my thought. Oh, for goodness sake, was your thought, huh?
Well, I kept it clean.
Okay. I had a similar thought, not quite.
I try to keep it clean. All right? Okay. There we go. Trying to keep it clean.
All right.
But when I look back at that, my thought was, and I can't even remember the kid's name, man, that Oregon kid made a great play.
He did.
Man, I mean, that kid made a great play. I mean, just, you know, Auer was trying to go high. The idea meaning, okay, I want to put it where only my guy can get it. And this Oregon kid jumps, and he makes a stupendous play to win the game. So my thought is I want to more salute the Oregon kid for making a great play. He really did. All right? Both quarterbacks made a mistake at the end of the game. Both of them did. Remember? Oregon scores to go ahead. They go for the two-point conversion, because you have to do that in the second overtime. He throws the ball right to deny Dennis Sutton. Whoops, that wasn't supposed to happen. He threw it right to him, essentially. It would have been great if Deny could have run all the way down the field. That wasn't going to happen. But, I mean, by the way, that would have been 2 points for Penn State if they had done that. I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank now. Oh, no, it was the Cowboys game last night.
Yeah.
All right. When the Cowboys blocked an extra point and were able to run it all the way back for 2 points, that's incredibly rare. But it happened last night. That was pretty wild. So I'm more for giving Oregon credit. That particular kid made a stupendous play. What a great play by that kid. All right. Mentioned last week, no-brainer material. Ohio State won the national championship last year, lost two games. Not one. They lost two in the regular season. Never made it to the conference championship and somehow got in and then ran the table. Poof. All right? So if there's any doom and gloomers out there, come on, folks. There's lots of time. All right? It's interesting. Penn State's next two games, UCLA and Northwestern, those two played each other on Saturday. How's that for timing? And I tried to watch it. And it was kind of boring.
And you couldn't stomach it.
It was kind of dull.
So, understandable.
Okay, these two teams really aren't that great.
No.
Ugh. All right. Now, Penn State has to make a 3,000-mile trip, jet lag, and, you know, all that stuff. Hopefully they manage that, you know, well. I mean, Penn State should pound UCLA.
Should.
On Saturday. Then they're going to come back home for homecoming against Northwestern, and they should pound Northwestern in that particular game. Then, let's see, after that, they've got the road game at Iowa. Now, Iowa, my opinion, blew it against Indiana Saturday. They just flat blew it. What on earth are you doing an all-out blitz there late in the game, sending essentially everybody, and the Indiana quarterback, pretty good kid, makes his pass, nobody in the secondary. I mean, the receiver shook one guy, and he's gone. And I'm thinking, what, where is everybody? Well, because they were all blitzing. I mean, bad call, just a really bad call. Iowa blew it. All right, Indiana is good. All right, yeah, they're good. They're not that good. So, again, that game, the Iowa game. Now, the Iowa game usually is always tough. You got the waving at the children's hospital and all that sort of thing. Iowa's not all that great either, frankly. All right, then they have an off week. So the Ohio State game is 5 weeks away. Plenty of time to reset. Now, you mentioned this earlier in the program.
What did I mention?
All right. I have to remember, these guys are either kids or very young men. And I have to remember that these are, forget the NIL money and all that stuff, all right? They're not professionals. They're not in the NFL, all right? All the hype about this offensive line has been total crap. These guys are not as advertised, okay? Oh, the running game. What's wrong with the running backs? Nick Singleton was a non-factor in this game. It's like, is he here? Oh, there he is. Okay. He got the ball. Yeah, total non-factor. But instead of ragging so much on the running backs, who are the guys in front of them? the five or whatever six guys in front, that's, I'm on the offensive side of the ball, those guys are not getting it done. And we saw indications in the early cream puff games. Okay, these guys don't, precision, execution, it's still not happening. Now, again, we're not trying to bash individual players. No. But right there, if this team actually has a championship opportunity, it's not going to happen if this offensive line doesn't start to get their act together. And it's just not happening. I mean, so many runs that just got stuffed on Saturday night were like Oregon getting penetration and all this sort of thing. Like, that's not supposed to be happening. All right, now let me toss it to you, because you actually mentioned it like last hour. What is up with that line?
That's a good question.
There's the issue. On the offensive side of the ball, that's the issue right there. All right, not the quarterback, not the running backs. The receivers, the new guys that have come in, when they've touched the ball, they've made plays. All right, good. Yay, that's what we like, all right? Now, last year, Penn State had Tyler Warren. Guy's awesome. Phenomenal player, all right? Luke Reynolds could be a Tyler Warren. He's not there yet. Now, he's a youngster. All right? He's still a young guy. So, you know, they're not getting as much productivity out of the tight end as they did last year, because last year they had an all-pro tight end in Tyler Warren. Okay, fine. But the blocking is not there. The precision is not there. The execution is not there. What is going on? You have any quick solutions? Because I don't have one right now.
I don't. It is perplexing when you look at the way they were playing in the playoffs last year and down the stretch last season, to see what we've seen through four games. And again, we're four games in to what, if they get to the playoffs, will be a very long season. But yeah, it is. They do not appear to be where they were a year ago. And as you said, they have some time to try to get this figured out and work on correcting whatever it is that's going wrong. But it's a combination of things for sure. But yeah, if you're asking me to peg the biggest issue right now, it would be the offensive line. Drew Aller in late game, big game situations, that's been an ongoing issue. Nicholas Singleton has not hit the holes when they have been there. That's been an issue, remains an issue this season. And the receivers have looked good. We're still having trouble getting some guys open, in some key situations. So, again, it's football, they always say, is the ultimate team sport, and it is. So while I would agree, the offensive line has been the biggest disappointment to me, so far this season. I think there is some blame to go around there. They have not put it together offensively. And going into the season, the biggest question mark was the receivers. That's probably been the area that has showed up strongest, although certainly, again, work to be done there as well. But, the tight ends and the receivers have been the strong suit for this this football team offensively to this point in the season. Tight ends, I mean, there were a couple of opportunities they let slip away from them, drop balls or at least catchable balls on Saturday night. But the tight ends overall have looked very good.
Now, Oregon's offensive line had a great game.
Unbelievable.
I mean, they kept the heat off their guy, their quarterback, so he was able to make plays. And again, Penn State's defense, great, great, great. They kept the heat off. I mean, am I correct? Penn State didn't have one sack in that game, which is amazing. All right, because Oregon's offensive line did a phenomenal job. Moore, the quarterback, now he's really good, okay? But he had time to do what he needed to do. At times, Aller didn't have that time to do what he needed to do. So Oregon should be very proud of their offensive line. They did a phenomenal job. My only question on the defensive side of the ball, again, Penn State's got a great defense. They've got great athletes all over the place. But once again, they kind of sag in the second half of big games. And I've seen this happen too many times in recent years. They kind of lose steam or whatever in the second half of big games. And it happened again, Saturday night. All right, they just, I don't know if you call it relaxed or they were just beaten to the punch or whatever in the second half. In especially the third quarter into the fourth quarter, it just wasn't happening. And I'm thinking, okay, come on, guys, get to this guy. Come on, you know, do this or do that or whatever. Again, armchair quarterback here, armchair coach. Come on. Didn't happen. Now, here's one thing, and I want to see if somebody follows up on this. Because if I'm Penn State, I've already done this. I've already complained to the Big Ten office because the officiating Saturday night, and I know you're not supposed to complain about the officials, but come on. And especially if you were watching on TV Saturday night, NBC, now granted, Todd Blackledge is phenomenal, and he was their color analyst on Saturday night. Todd is one of the best. He really is. But also their TV crew did a really nice job. How you do not call holding on that one play on deny Dennis Sutton is beyond me. I mean, for goodness sakes, I'm half blind and I can see it. Now, it helps when the TV camera kind of zooms in and you see it like it is so obvious.
I got news for you. What? You didn't need the TV camera. There were about 111,000 people that saw the same thing at the exact same moment.
Like, what on earth? Like, Mr. Referee. And then, of course, there was the fumble that wasn't. And now this is online. You can go on social media. People picked up the clip and they're posting and so on. And again, NBC had a perfect camera angle. Dumb luck, maybe. I don't know. Where they're able to zoom in and they see, all right, Oregon threatening to score. And the running back has the ball and he's being tackled. But they zoom in on his knee and he does not touch the ground. And the kid, you can tell the kid is struggling to keep running. He's struggling because then he kind of gets up and he tries to run again. That's when the fumble happens. Penn State gets the ball and they go down to, like, what, midfield. Total game-changing play. And everybody's celebrating until we come back from the commercial. And it's like, well, no, overruled. He touched, his knee touched down. And I'm looking now, of course, they're looking at video too. Probably, I assume, pretty much the same video we're looking at. Now, I guess I need a clarification, Mr. Ironhead. Maybe you can help me out here. Is the runner down when your knee is on the ground, or is his knee touching a blade of grass?
And that does seem to be the
and
question.
And he's ruled down. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be knee on the ground or knee on the turf for folks with artificial turf. But even when I looked at it closer, I'm like, is he even touching a blade of grass? And if you can't definitively say, yep, there it is, then the rule cannot be overturned or the call cannot be overturned. And yet they overturned it. Now, all right, caller, hold on. We'll get to you in a moment. Let's go to my favorite theme park, Conspiracy Theory Land.
Oh, right. Boy.
Oh, we love our favorite theme park. Free entry. You go in there, people go wild. It's a whiteout. It's 111,000 people. They're going absolutely berserk. It's a tremendous home field advantage. This is a Big Ten officiating crew. Are they maybe somehow thinking, well, you know what? All these people and all this white and all this noise really isn't fair to Oregon. Maybe we should cut them some slack. Oh! I just made somebody really angry. Okay. But think about it. I mean, we're all looking at these like, how's that not a holding call, Mr. Ref? Right in front of you. And his knee is, if it's touching a blade of grass, that's a fumble. That's a game-changing play. Oregon scores a touchdown on the next play. And the whole game changes. Come on. Really? Penn State, if you're not complaining to the Big Ten office, what are you waiting for? They take calls on the weekends. All right, let's take our call.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Scott and Jeff. This is Chuck O calling.
Chuck O. Good morning, Chuck O.
Hey, I don't know if you've been, your transmission has been horrible today.
Yeah, we know. Well, but better than it was yesterday.
Not much, but go ahead.
Well, I was trying to listen to you, and I had to go over and listen to public radio, and then and then I heard you come back on for a few seconds talking about trying to fix the problem, and no, you were talking about Penn State football, so I thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious, yeah.
Everybody's trying to fix problems on this Monday.
Yeah,
yes,
we
indeed.
Are. Okay.
Have you talked about the hockey game, the Penguins hockey game?
The Penguins hockey game?
We have not.
No, what about that?
Yeah, they play hockey, you know that.
Yes.
Well, they try anyway. They have a preseason game where they retired Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty cool to see. He only played in the third period.
Yep.
He played the whole third period. And then, even though the Penguins were up and winning, they get to practice. Since the preseason, they get to do a shootout. They can elect to do a shootout. And the three old guys on the Penguins, Letang and Evgeny and Sid, they all lost a goal. And then finally, Marc-Andre Fleury gave up a goal that wasn't counted towards, you know, he gave up a goal that they got, but it, you know, it didn't count. It's just kind of practice. But it was great to see his family out there, and that kid is always smiling. Marc-Andre Fleury, he's from Montreal, where Chris Letang is from, Montreal area. But anyway, that's all I've got today.
Well, hold on. It kind of hurts when you refer to those guys as old guys. It's like, ouch, you know, the old guys. No, I tell you, that was a classy move by the Penguins. Fleury signed, what's it called, a one-day contract or whatever their funky little contracts are, simply so that he could put the uniform on one more time.
Yep, sold out.
And the crowd,
sold out
crowd went berserk.
Yep.
I mean, it was really, really, that. I wish I had been in the building that night over the weekend. That's just a great classy move.
Yep. Well, you had to have a lot of money in your wallet to go to that game.
Right? Yeah, for a preseason game, go figure.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll have a little bit more open time. Again, our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. Interesting weather, not here. Out in the Atlantic Ocean, there's some interesting, very rare weather, which I'm sure we'll talk about. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Keep that stream going. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Recovered yet?
Oh, yes.
I feel like many of us, the answer is a big, fat no.
No?
When did you get home? That was a long day for a lot of folks, and hopefully you're able to recover. But for some of us, it was a long night. Maybe some of us didn't get home until after 1:30 come Sunday morning, and then had to be up, ready to go, bringing the passion to watch the Steelers and the Vikings get underway at 9:30, for good heaven's sake. Man, you're asking a lot. So, it may be a slow-moving Monday morning for many in the audience today. We understand.
Can I give you a suggestion?
We feel your pain.
You want a suggestion?
I don't want a suggestion.
Here, take this suggestion.
I don't want
this
suggestion.
I went to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I recorded the Steelers game.
Yeah.
And when I came home, I sat down, I watched it.
I had to listen and, that's...
Record it!
No good at all.
No.
That's even worse, that's bad on so many different levels.
Oh.
I can't even comprehend it.
814-954-7266. All right.
What's the matter with
I
you?
I just turned off my phone yesterday. No. I'm like, I don't want to see the score, and I just
you
watched
need to watch
game.
It. But I wish they would. I really do wish that sports would go back to live sports, like real-time sports action. That just drives me nuts, the waiting when you know something will happen. And if you go to – it was tailgating ahead of time. It was kind of funny because different folks are watching different games, but – there was like the one setup I was at. We're watching action on TV. These folks over here are watching same game, and then there's another group over here, and it was like this ripple effect. Oh, he fumbled. Then we'd see, oh, he did fumble, and then the ones behind, like the just because of the buffering or whatever's going on up there at the stadium, you're not seeing it at the same time. So different people are seeing the exact same game in like 10 seconds later here, 10 seconds earlier there, 5 seconds earlier or later over there. And it happens sometimes depending on whether you're getting the satellite feed or DirecTV, even at sports bars. It's like, all right, you're watching the Steelers in the back bar, and the back bar, hey, touchdown! And then front bars, hey, touchdown! Look at that! It just, right, I mean, I just wish we could just do everything, boom, live, instantaneous. You're seeing it as it happens. That would make life much easier.
Well,
for all involved.
For folks listening on our stream this morning, and we've got a lot of folks listening on the stream this morning.
Yeah,
thank you very much. You're listening to me talk to you right now. This actually happened 4 seconds ago.
Okay.
There you go. Not that it really matters, but I think folks don't quite understand. Streaming is always going to have a bit of a lag. That's just the nature of that beast.
Yeah.
All right. It's 4 seconds.
But the TV stuff doesn't have to. I just get rid of the delay. Put a disclaimer at the start. Hey, you're watching a live sporting event with, athletes and coaches, and there may be some profanity. What especially drives me crazy is even with the delay, half the time, probably more than half the time, we still get the F-bombs being dropped, and they air, and then, Monday morning there's an apology. Oh, yeah, if you're not going to catch it anyway, just air it live. Put a little disclaimer. Hey, just so you know, you're watching a live sporting event. There could be language, and there could be other stuff that happens. You don't know. It's live. Deal with it. And then move on and air the doggone stuff live. Joe Bastardi will be live next. He joins us, weatherbell.com. We're going to talk all things weather and, you just never know where else
what could come up.
We may veer into as topics of discussion here on a Monday morning. I do suspect we may get into some college football talk, both the whiteout and, there's a Texas A&M team that Mr. Bastardi is fond of that happens to be undefeated still on the season. We're back with Mr. Bastardi, weatherbell.com, in mere minutes.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-On, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home, decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House, a delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College, so if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, coming off the whiteout weekend. We are joined by Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, as we are just about every Monday morning in this final segment. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Not doing too shabby at all, you know, all things considered. Your Aggies are still undefeated anyway.
Yeah, they got a good team. I was encouraged in that their run defense, which I've been suspect about, really shut Auburn down real good. But, you know, reffing, they got to do something about the reffing. You've got to have refs that are in shape, that can stay with the pace of the game. And, I mean, I was watching the Aggies. Aggies have been penalized 15 times in their first three games. They got whistled 13 times at Kyle Field, for instance, and most of the calls were, six or seven of them were holding, for instance, and this came off what happened to Auburn, where obviously Auburn against Oklahoma, there was some bad refereeing going on. And I was watching the position of the refs when they were making these calls, and they were just, they can't keep up with the game. And, of course, what happened, you know, the other night, I mean, look, you got to be able to be physical at the line of scrimmage and not have the other team go 5, 6, 7 yards on first down.
Yep.
So people would say, well, play call is better. Listen, if they're getting 6 or 7 yards, that's on a run. That's physical running, all right? So that's a problem. But on the other hand, when you have a very talented defensive end like we do, that can disrupt the game, and you just let the other guy get away with blatant holding, not just once, but 2 or 3 times, you basically change the game, because not only is it the holding call that could put him behind the sticks more times than one, but it's the fact that that guy can get away with it. So that guy, well, he's just going to hold the entire game. And that changes the complexion of the game. And, you know, it's little things that go on. I'll tell you why. I didn't go to the game. I watched it on TV. You can't be serious. You start booing your home team and midway through the second quarter. I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. You realize what that did to the psyche of the, if there was any problem with the Oregon Ducks, they're probably laughing their butts off. This isn't bad. The other team's against us, or the crowd is going for us. I mean, I don't know. I grew up down at A&M, and I have gone to maybe 100 Aggie games. I have never heard A&M fans boo their own team. I've never heard that. They boo the ref. If they start getting blown out, what they do is they start trying to, you know, put the onus on Texas, whether, you know, they do that down hook 'em things. If the Aggies start losing, they start going after Texas. But, folks, you know, for the first time I came here in 73, I noticed it's a product of our – we've got such a great program overall. We're spoiled. We're absolutely spoiled. We feel we deserve this stuff. Franklin is an unbelievable coach. I'll tell you what, I dare anyone to take a ride and go down to the Southeast Conference. I don't think they're a better football conference than us, but I want you to look at the facilities they have versus our facilities. And people don't understand. I go down to A&M, I go, what the heck? This is like a Shangri-La. You don't even have to leave the darn locker room, right? And, you know, I think for James Franklin, is just lights out great. And he comes to these games, and we could have won that game the other night, and our guys fought back like that. And, you know, if you win out, win the national title, everybody goes, oh, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. So I get antsy after watching what I watched, not only because obviously we got some problems, some big problems on offense. I don't understand the game plan at all, you know, that's a lot of people are saying that. But that being said, they were in position to win the darn game, and that was quite the comeback. That darn landing, that that Oregon coach, when he did the when he did that after they scored that, they got ahead by two touchdowns. I don't know if you anyone saw what he did. I said, that's it. Watch what happens. Because Joe used to talk about that all the time. Once you relax on a good team, and Penn State's a darn good football team, right? Once you relax on them, and meanwhile our guys know that they have to go all out, and it was really, really nice to see them come back and get back into that game. And, you know, I just think our fan base has got to be better about stuff like that. If you don't have, at least at home, wait till after the game to complain, get on the radio, get here with Jeff, and yell and scream about it rather than booing your home team. Oh, my gosh, I can't even believe I saw it. Well, I guess I can believe it. It's happened before, so.
But we're cheering the weather, Joe. I mean, we were pretty consistently cheering the weather.
We're cheering.
Yeah, we got our 2.5 inches of rain last week, which means that the grass is got to get mowed again. And
it was a nice rain, too. That was a nice, good, steady all the way through. Oh, Scott doesn't like the steady rains. I thought it was a great rain.
I'm cheering.
You were looking at me like, why in the world would that be good?
I don't normally cheer rain, but.
Oh, everybody was
there
cheering.
There you go. And I had to mow my lawn yesterday because it was finally time. So, Joe, I was on the lawn tractor.
Myra ruined the fall color season because what was that? We were on path to a great color display this year, because when it's dry like that, the colors get amplified. But what's going to happen now is the water gets back in the trees and the colors will be duller because the process of growth tries to restart late in the fall. I had a buddy of mine in my old neighborhood that was, he's a forester, and he explained all that stuff to me. The other good thing, though, the one good thing about the rain is the bears are not going to be coming out of the mountains into your backyard. Whenever it's dry, that happens here. So doesn't look like much going on for the next week here. Probably not going to be any rain. Probably going to be dry. Certainly going to be above normal. I mean, the normal temperatures now should be down in the 60s, and we hit mid 80s yesterday. So we're running above normal here this upcoming week, and we'll be running above normal into next week. And so there's just not much going on weather-wise. It's a bore. We have the tropical storms and the hurricane. I mean, we have a tropical storm, Imelda, which will become a hurricane. Instead of coming back toward the United States, it's right over Abaco Island right now. I don't know if it's Abaco or Abaco, that northeast island. Do you know that of all the land masses in North America, the northeast island, Abaco in the Bahamas, is the most frequented landmass for tropical storms and hurricanes in the Western Hemisphere. Right there, that's about 200 miles east of Miami, and that's where Imelda is now. And what's happening is Umberto, is a very powerful hurricane to the east, and what it's doing is, it's literally because of all that low pressure to the east and what it's doing to the 500 millibar ridge out there, it's cutting the ridge. And what Imelda is going to do is, instead of trying to turn back toward the United States, it's going to follow Umberto out. So we talk about this thing called the Fujiwara effect, where tropical cyclones dance around each other. In this case, these two tropical cyclones are going to have the Sayonara effect, because out to sea they both go. Now, the hurricane season isn't nearly over. It's probably going in November this year. October probably will be quite active. Those folks down there in the southeast and Florida are certainly not done yet. But by and large, over the next couple of weeks for us here in Happy Valley, things are looking boring, and when it's boring, it's beautiful. Look, folks, football can get you depressed. I understand that, all right? But look at it this way. When it's football season, it means wrestling season is not that far away.
Here, here, here.
Okay.
Of course, you can't get 111,000 people into Rec Hall, but, it's funny when they're always talking about, well, let's have an early season wrestling match in November or something out of Beaver Stadium. So far those outdoor events have gotten away, they've gotten away with what I term as being lucky. because November 4th, it has been known to snow around here by November 4th. In fact, in 2011, it snowed for homecoming, I believe it was, in the middle of October. We had 5-6 inches of snow. So let's just put the outdoor wrestling match idea on the side and keep enjoying football. And, look, we have our shots coming up. You got number one on the schedule. You got number eight on the schedule. And who knows, Indiana may still be unbeaten by the time we get to them. But if you beat Ohio State and Indiana back-to-back, I would say that that's one heck of a year.
Yeah, you're back. That's a good thought, yeah. All right, now, Joe, I've got a dumb weather question because I'm good at those, all right? These two storms out in the Atlantic, is it possible for them to somehow run into each other, or is that just unthinkable?
Well, I don't know if you were paying attention to what I was saying before about the Fujiwara effect, where they dance around each other and combine. But, yeah, that's happened before. It happens in the Pacific all the time. Doesn't happen in the Atlantic that much. Happens in the Pacific. It's called the Fujiwara effect. And what happens is the storms dance around each other's circulation, and they keep getting closer and closer to each other until finally they do combine. We're more likely to see an Atlantic with a non-tropical system pulling in a tropical system to it. You know, Sandy, to some extent, was like that, where you got the big upper air low that was to the west of Sandy and pulled Sandy in. Like I said before, that's called the Fujiwara effect. In this particular case, the interaction between the two means the Sayonara effect, because it means Imelda will turn east. It won't turn back to the west like a lot of the models had last week. But, you know, they're having some rough weather. A lot of rain along the southeast coast right now, and a lot of wind. It's like a nor'easter down there. It wasn't a nor'easter for the Bahamas. They had a little bit rougher weather with it, but it's turning out. But yeah, they combine. You know, it's kind of I put a story on Twitter last week. Well, in 1966, I was 11 years old, reading about the Fujiwara effect. Right. So what happened was you had Hurricane Inez, and right behind it was Tropical Storm Judith. So I called the weather station in Atlantic City. My dad was working in research. So Atlantic City had two branches there. They had my dad worked in research, and there was a forecasting part right next to it, right? But my dad would go over there, look all over the weather, come home and tell me what he was going to do, right? Well, anyway, there was a guy in there, I'll never forget it. His name was Charlie Cullen. And I was a big pain in the butt to Mr. Cullen because I'd always be calling up. My dad was at work. I couldn't talk to my dad. I'd have to talk to a guy at the weather station. So I call up and I go, hi, Mr. Cullen. This is Mr. Bastardi's son. Is there any chance of a Fujiwara effect with Inez and Judith? I'm 11 years old here, 1966. And he goes, a Fuji what? And, right? And my dad came home and he goes, Joe, those guys don't know anything about it. My dad says this to me. Those guys don't know anything about a Fujiwara effect, so don't bother talking to them about it. You and I know about it because we read it in Weatherwise magazine. My dad basically just would feed me all the weather information he could get his hands on, right? But it was funny because he said that I walked into the weather office to look at the weather, and Charlie Cullen goes, Matt, what the H-E double hockey sticks is a Fujiwara effect, right? So the Fujiwara effect is when two storms interact with each other. And what happened was actually Inez, which was a pretty powerful storm, Judith was following it, was moving so fast that it got pulled into Inez. And Inez eventually hit Hispaniola as a real bad storm. You know, my dad used to say, you know, when we used to, you used to hear about all the foreign aid we were giving away, right, to other countries. My dad used to say, well, Hispaniola should get all the foreign aid that we could give them, because if that island was not there to stop hurricanes, you know, there's 10,000-foot mountains on that island, he goes, a lot of people would not be living where they're living in Florida, because there have been so many storms that have got tangled up with the island of Hispaniola. That they come out, they're never the same, and they never impact the United States as bad as what they would have if there was no island of Hispaniola in the way. So I'm all for foreign aid to Hispaniola.
I am with you, I think, all on right. this. Mr. Bastardi, pray tell, what should we do with that weather?
I am so bored, I don't know if I can enjoy it. But the rest of you normal human beings, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
That is the great Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, wrapping up our Monday show. We will be back tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.